Today we're going to take time and visit with Boone Mayor Eli Steins. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me on this cold morning.
Hey, thanks for at least being able to get in.
No, absolutely.
A little slow out there. Everybody's moving a little slow.
Yep.
Our extreme cold, but Public Works got to go back because even as the cold was coming in, the ice and everything else, everybody was kind of wondering last week when it got a little bit slushy there, where are they? What are they doing? Yep. Well, as soon as it got done snowing, they were out.
Yep. And they start early in the morning, and I get a text right when they go out to make sure that they're out and everything like that. So they're out there.
They let you know.
They do.
Folks, I just hear the plow go by.
Yeah.
But again, one of the big things is, and again, we did the snow ordinance we know last week.
Yes.
Unfortunately, had several vehicles that got towed.
Yep. Try to, you know, sign up for those text alerts. So
easiest way to do it.
Alert Boone. Go to the website, look that up, text them so that you know right away when there's a snow ordinance, either in the business district or in the residential district.
888-777-BOONE-SNOW will get you all signed up for it. So
And
if you've done it before and all of a sudden you don't seem to be getting those notices, go back in and do it again.
Yep. Re-sign up so you know what's going on.
The downside is, we did have a number of vehicles that got towed. The upside, you have a limited crew. You only have so many people.
That's right. Yeah. So you expend their hours. You got to make sure that they are alert when they're driving those big machines and everything like that.
And you got a few hundred miles worth of hard surface roads to clear off. People
indeed
kind of forget about that.
Yep. And we have to pay special attention to snow routes and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, so far, though, this year, and unfortunately, every time they go out, and I haven't asked Waylon this, but we know every time they go out, it is money. It is money getting spent.
So we try to do it as efficiently as possible.
So, well, we got that part done. We'll work through this and continue on. We've got a lot of other things that are coming up. Potentially, the restoration of the historic arch.
That's right. Yep.
You guys got, actually, George Eckstein brought some of the information to the council last night, but mostly he wanted the city support financially.
That's right, yep. So George Eckstein has been working on restoring the arch that used to be on Story Street and 9th that says Tribune You'll Stay, and it was, according to him, the first illuminated sign in the state of Iowa. I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but that's what he had mentioned. So that was scrapped for the war effort in World War II. And so we're trying to bring that back somewhere in the downtown area. He's been starting fundraising, got some grant applications in, and he was one of the people that helped start the Hotel Motel Tax Fund, and so it was kind of nice to have it come all the way back around for a project that he's working on. The city dedicated $30,000 out of our Hotel Motel reserves to that project.
So, and again, we have so many dollars that we budget coming in, so, and we do have a thing to carrying some reserves over in case you get
a
projects
big project
like
comes
this.
In. That's absolutely right.
So again, this will be, we've got ways to go. It's not going to be happening next week. But
no, he's got a very aggressive timeline. He wants the pillars and stuff on the sides to be put in by Pufferbilly Days this coming September. So we'll see how far that goes.
And he did point out to the council, he's been working with a lot of local contractors that would be doing the work on this.
Yep, he really had an emphasis on getting Boone contractors, concrete, everything like that, metalworks to be, you know, part of this project.
So we'll continue to monitor and see how it goes, but still has some funding requests out there, and there's going to be other ways that people, I'm sure, can help out. We'll have Holly come in later this week. She is the Main Street
Director.
She'll
talk more about it.
She'll talk a little bit more about it as well. They would like to make it part of the main
part of the district.
The big Main Street district here. Well, council last night, once you got that part done, let's talk a little bit about, started to move ahead with some of your financing for work that's going to be done, water plant, sewer plant.
Yep.
The water environment station, a little bit bigger, about 1.13
million.
And $866,000 for the waterworks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big thing for most people to understand is a lot of this is for work projects that you were already looking at even before Daisy picked Boone.
Yeah, storage reservoirs and things of that nature that would need to be done regardless.
Yeah. So mostly right now we're drawing into dollars that are available, and a lot of it's going to be for engineering purposes and doing a few things that need to be done to go ahead
the
with
the preparatory
this
work for the entire project.
A lot of it. And there will be more expenses, folks. We know that.
So kind of just do it in a measured pace to make sure it all gets done, and we can budget for it in our revenues.
Follow along. So these were planned and have been in the works. I'm going to say at least the water environment station has probably been about 3 years you've been working. Different things there.
Yeah, and really the only changes are scope, essentially.
Yeah.
A couple of, things like what can you do in the future to make sure you're prepared for other industrial growth that comes along as well.
It's kind of like the, we knew all along the lift station out on Corporal Snedden Drive was going to be done.
Yep.
We just knew that.
It's just a matter of time.
And then once Daisy came, and then it was, okay, now how big do we have to make it?
Yeah, yep. So, scale and scope and timing, that's really the changes.
We're continuing to move forward with those. One of the things that you did last night, you did the public hearing to, again, do a vacate right-of-way and alleyway.
That's right.
Earlier, at the meeting, last meeting, I think it was?
Last meeting, we were setting the date for the public hearing, but we did have a resident come because they saw it on the agenda, and they had their say about their concerns. And she was able to talk to the building official after the meeting, and they worked on an agreement so that her concerns were resolved. And so this alley vacation went through.
Where there was, I know the council was a little concerned about what was going to happen, but everything, building officials were able to get it all negotiated out.
So we were able to
neighbors.
Have those conversations, and everybody was agreeable to the terms.
We got
so
that
that's
done.
Really nice.
We are going to be having a public hearing to sell more property, another parcel, 117 West 9th. That's going to be one. I think, did you get that from the county? Is that the parcel you picked up from the county?
Yeah, I believe so.
And it was part of an exchange of properties, the city and the county. Had to do with the communication, the new communications effort that's going on. And then you got a big one coming up, public hearing-wise, which could take a long time if you read the whole thing.
Right.
But it is the CIP. The
five-year plan, essentially, for rolling funds and big projects.
And there are a lot on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything, folks, from buying trucks to, because they're all becoming kind of capital project things. The fire, a new fire truck.
Planning for fire trucks, planning for equipment, road projects, things of that nature.
Yeah, so that, and again, it's just you adopt it, but it is always
subject to
change.
Kind of a living document, really.
It is. It always changes. Well, we did have a couple of other things that came up last night. The utility committee met beforehand, and one of the things that one of the projects at the Waterworks has been the clear well, because again, it's a big tank, folks, that holds potable water. The question, and for years it's been, we need to go in there and make some repairs and do some repairs on it. So we're moving forward with some of those. The question is, do we put a wall in the middle so we shut down one side over the other? And engineering helped you out here.
Yeah. Perry said that it wouldn't be necessary to do that. They'd be able to shut the whole thing down at once to make repairs and things of that nature. That's what I got gathered from his statement. They had a longer conversation in utility about it.
They did, yeah. It was about having a wall in there and how do we secure it. And then, but the bottom line doesn't mean that at some point in time, work can't be done on that, but just not necessary right now.
Yep.
Probably one of the big ones that's going to be going on, and I know you got some people that'll be going to the park board meeting next week.
Right.
And this is going to be with what we started talking about, the
Forest Main,
the upsizing, if you will, of the lift station down on Snedden Drive for providing service to Daisy in that area. This is going to be a pretty sizable project, probably for a lot of people that don't realize it, but the one thing they've done is tried to keep it out of residential sewer.
So they'd be boring, through the earth for those forced mains and kind of try to find the best path from the industrial park area where Daisy is going to be, and then over to the wastewater treatment facility, and discuss going up the main road within McCose Park, but Waylon Andrews kind of saw a different path over to the west side of things, where you can go around onto the older road straight up and not have to disturb anything in the park proper.
So kind of skirt around to the south and west side of the park property towards the water plant.
So it'll be a little bit longer, but at the end of the day, it'll be less invasive.
And actually, not having to go through a lot of the resurfacing and things on the road probably might end up being less costly, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Anyway, this is something they are, because obviously you're going to go through the park, so they want the park board to be well aware of what they're talking about.
Exactly, yep. And so we're trying to do it in such a way that it's as minimally disruptive as possible.
We did have that going on, and I know there were a couple of other items related to some of the work that's going on. City has talked about, for so long, I've said, is there going to be another water tower on the west side of town? Well, I know we're talking another water tower, but we're talking on the east side.
That'll be on the east side of town.
It'll be out there by where Daisy will be.
Yep.
And to do that, they would like to spend a few extra dollars and do some additional studying, because, I don't know, I'm not into hydrology, but it's pretty important when it comes to getting our water from one place to another.
Yep. So they have to make sure that everything is set for the future when they go through and do this.
So this is something SEH would be doing. Not an overly expensive addition, but just allowing them some extra to gather technical information on that. And it would be for
the more information, the better, honestly.
Projects that have already been budgeted for that basically he brought some contracts forward to, starting to work with, LRE, Water for Hydrological.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what they do is they study and find places to locate wells.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if they use the divining rods or whatever.
But yeah, they probably have something more
technical. I think they're a little more technically.
Yep.
And then doing some soil testing, because you got a lot of things that'll be done where you'll have to.
That's right. And we want to make sure that everybody knows what the soil conditions are before they start working.
And one thing he did point out is that all of the projects that are going together, these are included in their budgets, these things.
Yep.
This is just contracts to get started on doing some of this work.
Contracts signed, absolutely.
Well, last night we did have a couple of other things that came up. Was going to talk a little bit about the citywide cleanup. It is not going away, people. But
absolutely not.
You've been visiting with Waylon Andrews and talking about different issues that come up with that.
Right.
And are there ways where we could maybe improve this process a little bit? Again, I know the landfill repeatedly is, and by the way, he'll be around tomorrow. We'll say that, trying to reduce what's happening over and over again. 15 years. This will be the 15th year.
It'll be 15 years. And Waylon, pointed out that we spend $36,000 last year on the program. Council and myself feel it's a good program to keep our city clean and, making sure that people are getting refuse and things like that out of their yards and houses. And so the change that we're suggesting I'm making is limiting the size of the load for each residence. And this will be unaffected for almost everyone, but we're really trying to identify areas where they're really taking undue advantage of the program and getting loads that are just far too large.
And some always trying to get a little sneaky.
Yeah, sometimes they put in items that are not allowed. So please do not do that. Look at the allowed items and make sure you only have, approved things in your pile so they can get taken.
I think he was talking again when you start talking about the size of some of that they're taking off of some areas. Some of that was something that regular haulers could pick up. More
absolutely.
Than likely,
so. Yep. So if you do find yourself in a situation where you have a larger load than what is going to be accepted, look into having your garbage company haul that away.
So right now, we've been talking about this, but they are going to put together some of the information, again, to go out with a flyer that we typically comes out, I think, in maybe April.
Yeah, and then we'll have a supplementary flyer, I think, that the library will help with.
So, and again, that's going to be just some guidelines, new guidelines.
Yeah, new guidelines, limiting the size of loads is essentially the biggest change.
Well, but I know I was looking at some of the numbers and things that the Public Works has been picking up. Now, it is a lot of wear and tear on.
Yep, vehicle wear and tear.
Not just having all your employees on the go nonstop.
That's right.
It always seems to be pretty hot.
Yeah,
and or we get a rainstorm.
There was a big rainstorm that really hit them hard.
All right. Some of the other things that came up, we did have Chief Wiebold. He continues to work through this process of doing codifying some of the ordinances that they deal with. And one had to do basically with dogs at large.
Well, yeah, any animal control penalty was a civil infraction. And the way it goes through the clerk of courts changed. And they were going to charge an extra fee if it were a civil infraction. And so the smoothest way to get around that and to make it actually cheaper, even when you're issuing the ticket and making sure that gets paid and the city's not on the hook for it, is to make it a criminal infraction instead of a simple misdemeanor. And so it sounds bad, you know, but it's like a speeding ticket, essentially, the same thing.
But again, it's one of those, and one thing I didn't realize, doing the civil penalties, if they wanted to see if someone had been a repeat offender,
it's hard to look it up.
A lot hard to look it up, yeah.
Yeah, so we really want to key in on these repeat offenders and, you know, get those situations resolved. That causes the most work for our animal control specialists.
And he did point out to the council that there are a number of other things in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Not used as often, but do need to be refined.
Yep, he's looking through in other areas where we might need to go that route to make sure that we're getting things processed, we can keep accurate records and things like that.
This is one of the goals council has had.
And there's
updating.
More changes to come in the animal control realm, you know, when we work with Boone Area Humane Society to see what they can do and what's going to be most beneficial for the animals and the citizens.
That's just on the animal code part, folks.
Just the animal code.
There's a lot of others. So far, I think this area of the code getting updated, some of the things that they are working on. And you'd already done a lot of the zoning part.
Zoning, yep. That one's done.
Those were the big parts. Still got several others out there for those that enjoy reading the code. We did have, kind of knew this was potentially going to come, but... we've talked in the past that as busy as the building official's office has been, it was really getting extremely busy with of the residential construction going on, trying to keep up with everything.
Yep.
We are going to have halftime help in there anyway for the short term moving forward.
Ed Higgins is coming back part-time to help out the building official, Dave, and especially with everything that's going on with the inspections that are going to have to happen with the days of construction, too. So. Be great to have him back.
We'll get keep moving forward. Yeah,
yes.
Still have all this residential housing that's going on
too. Top of everything. Yes.
Yes, folks. We're talking. We haven't even got started with cating yet, and and that's still going to be
128.
Yeah, got to check all those out. Mm-hmm. That's going to be going on. Let me see. There were a few other things as well besides Ed coming in. You did. One thing we talked about last time was you did have and still have probably some positions you would like to make appointments to. You did one for the Family Resource Center
Board. Yes, Family Resource Center Board, so that's filled. I believe I have somebody interested in the Arts Commission, and I'm still looking for a chair of the Historical Preservation Committee, and I have a couple of people I'd like to talk to, but... If you're historically minded, please let me know.
Yeah, and you can find out about the 19th.
You do have to live inside city limits.
In the city.
Yes.
And yeah, either upside or downside. You can find out more about the arch, downtown arch, because George had a lot of history for that.
Absolutely.
Well, council last night, one of the things that you had done, and we talked a little bit about it last time, you went out, got some information from firms that provide... Yes. Administrative searches.
Yes. So Administrator Scare, let us know that he was retiring at the beginning of the fiscal year in July. And so we need to get started right away on getting a hiring firm so that they can put the job ad out. Construct the job ad actually is a big task also. Mm-hmm. Winnow the candidates down to which ones are going to have in-person interviews. And so we can have that process completed before that departure date so that the person can be onboarded. And trained and things like that. So
we hope.
Yes.
Yep. That's one of the challenges.
You have to get a good candidate pool. Yep. You have to have somebody that's going to rise to the top, you know, through this process. And it'll be good to have professional help. And they do this, you know, many, many cities.
The two firms, Jeff Kaler
did it last time for us.
Has worked with the city in the past. And this is Brett Hansen.
Yep, Brett Hansen. Hinson. They got a team of four people that work together. And I think that was something that was attractive to council with everything we have going on to really vet all the candidates thoroughly.
And by the way, Hinson out of Mason City. So he's done this 10 years, I think he's been doing it across the state, helping with the administrative searches. Much like we get when the schools are looking for.
That's right. It's a similar process.
Similar process. They go out and find it. One thing he did point out to the council is when he started 10 years ago, getting 40, 50 applications was pretty common. And now you're down to maybe 15 to 20.
Yep.
And they've got searches going on, what, about three or four right now that they're working on, which
so they're really aware of the candidate pool. Yeah. And so we've got to make sure to get the word out and attract the best candidates.
They will be starting out relatively soon. He was going to come down and start discussing logistics and
next
things
week,
and start to get into setting up a process for some of his people to come in and do some interviews with council members, kind of get a feel what they're looking for. And
And department heads.
Department heads and then potentially some community leaders.
Absolutely.
As well.
So really they want to use this as a team building exercise is kind of how he put it. So we can really understand what we need in an administrator.
So they'll be working on that. And I know the council emphasized more than once the time frame. They would love this to be the sooner the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And sometimes you get, you know, candidates who come from another job where they have to give 60 days notice and things like that in their contract. Yeah. So it gets kind of difficult when you get down to it.
In the meantime, even with in the transition time, we're going to still continue to move forward. We've got
absolutely.
These things that are going and things are pretty well
run
set
all
up.
These on parallel tracks for sure.
We keep going the best we can, doing what we can. Any other notes of things that came up last night or that I missed?
No, I mean,
because there was a lot.
We had a citizen come in concerned about the letters that went out about the lead service lines.
Yep.
And kind of reiterated that that's a federal program and there's congressionally allocated dollars for that. You know, if and when the mandate comes later on for those replacements, we should see some information about funding for assistance with that.
And
it's not an imminent thing, though.
Yeah,
I want to emphasize
for those that did get those letters last year, really the bottom line is it was let them know that potentially you have a lead service line.
And it's only a potential. You can check to make sure yourself if you have a lead service line or not. Many of the homes, my home does not, even though I got a letter. And additionally, you can check your water pretty easily to see if you're under the influence of lead in your water. And there are very easy mitigation steps you can take to make sure
right
that you're
now.
Not ingesting lead.
So, but again, this was a part, and we're not the only city that did that.
Nationwide.
So it was
a federal mandate nationwide.
They all had to come out. And you still have Public Works Director Waylon Andrews working with other communities.
That's right.
Trying to let the state know in. So far, we haven't heard much discussion at the state level about it.
I think they're kind of wait-and-see approach as well.
Yeah,
and so it's a good opportunity, though, to discuss these things to make sure everybody's reminded of what's going on.
Does a lot of work happening and starting to move forward. Now, if we can just get out of the really cool.
Yep. We got to thaw out first.
I'm not going to say it. But it'll warm up. Yeah, and it's going to be getting warmer next week. We do have a number of other things then that'll be coming up once we get into March, and we've got a couple of pretty important meetings that'll be coming
planning
up in March.
Planning and zoning,
as well.
We've got a public safety meeting that'll have a number of items on their agenda as well.
So. Mayor Eli Stein's our guest on our program today. Thanks for coming in and visiting.
Thanks for having me.